Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
Now? Okay. You're listening to the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Soren Petro with you here from the Rally House Studios. Rally House, where you can get geared up for all your local schools, and I mean all of them. Even your MIAA schools at your Rally House in Kansas Sampler, they got all the gear to put on you for game day or just lounging about town. That goes for the Royals, Chiefs Sporting as well. Rallyhouse.com to find the location nearest you. Their beautiful Kansas Sampler store as well. All the gear you could ever want is at Rally House. Blair Kirchhoff is brought to you by our friends at Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. Kansas's number one GM dealer is Robert Brogdon Buick GMC. They're at I-35. And Santa Fe, go see them today to save thousands. And the beautiful new Buick wagon. I don't know if they're calling it a wagon, but that's what it looks like. Wow. Very sharp. If you need a family vehicle and you don't want the truck or whatever, it's really good looking. Looks like a luxury vehicle.
Probably nicer than the Buick Estate wagon that my family had when I was a kid.
Back in the day?
In the day.
Yeah, exactly. Did it have the wood?
Wood paneling.
You know, do you remember the, what are they called? Like where they put that top over it? It was like vinyl. It's supposed to look almost like leather top. You know, the cars, like the Buicks and the Oldsmobiles had it a lot. My mom had a Buick Riviera that had the...
Just the back half?
Yeah.
Landau top is what that's called.
Was that what it was?
Were just the back half of the roof and the sides were leather padded?
Yeah.
Landau.
Yeah.
Wow, I'm stunned that you...
Is that what it was called?
I know my cars.
There's a trivia expert there.
Yeah. And then you could push on it. It was kind of like soft, you know? It wasn't really... That was like a big deal. Big extra my mom had to have on the Buick Riviera.
The Landau roof.
Yes. When we had the Buick Riviera, my mom had arrived when she got that car. So, Blair, besides your passion for wagons, station wagons, the college football is creeping ever closer. In fact, we are, what is today, the 16th? We are now 2 weeks away, right?
I believe that there is actually a handful of games that will be played next weekend.
Oh, yeah. There's like they're in New Zealand or something.
Maybe.
Like that.
I think there's like four games involving D1s next weekend. But the big kickoff is Labor Day weekend. That's when the colleges have, you know, the NFL doesn't play that weekend. All their games are over on Thursday, the final preseason games. The cuts happen Friday, the rosters have to be in on Saturday. So college football takes over that weekend. It's a great college football weekend with all the neutral site games. Although, excuse me, I don't know if there's a great neutral site. You know, last year, remember, we had.
We do. We do have some good ones, actually, in scouring through. I don't know, you mean the first weekend or just in general in the non-con?
Yeah, the first week. I just remember the Alabama-Florida State game last year. We were so looking forward to that, the 1-2.
You are right. On August 25th, Duquesne and UMass will do battle at Warren McGuirk Alumni Stadium in Amherst, Massachusetts.
Named after the man who invented the Landau top.
Very nice. Prairie View and Rice tussle at Rice Stadium. Hawaii and Colorado State in Fort Collins.
So a Mountain West game.
Wyoming and New Mexico in Las Cruces. Then on Wednesday the 29th at the CEFCU Stadium, home of the Spartans. Oh, that's San Jose. I thought that was going to be an overseas one. UC Davis and San Jose State, the 30th Central Connecticut and Ball State, Kennesaw State and Georgia State, Central Florida
we got
and Connecticut.
Yeah. Oh yeah, baby.
Yeah. Central Florida and Connecticut. I'm trying to find is there anyone because they were
The Josh Heupel debut.
Central Florida. At Central Florida. New Mexico State and Minnesota, and. Well, I'm on the 30th. That's the Thursday, the 30th. Yeah, okay.
Thursday's been the sort of that, the,
that's
that,
it. Yeah,
there's like a 15-game schedule or something.
Yeah, Northwestern and Purdue.
Yeah, that's
Wake Forest and Tulane is at Yankee Stadium. Oh no, I'm sorry. I have new glasses on the way. Yulman Stadium. No joke. I have new glasses. They should be here any day. Thank you, Dr. Hunter. Wake Forest and Tulane. I'm done with the stadiums. I just like for the last few years they've had one like in New Zealand, haven't they?
Yeah, it seems like Cal played there, Nevada.
It seemed like the last two or three years when I was in Vegas, which we always go the weekend before the holiday weekend, which is Labor Day. We have some game playing in New Zealand or something because here's all these drunken deadbeats trying to get $50 down to catch up against it at the casinos. But anyway, Savannah State, UAB, Missouri State, Oklahoma State. Weber State, Utah, Southeast Louisiana, Louisiana Monroe, Northwestern State, A&M against Texas A&M. You want the Friday lineup? Let me see how many.
What's
there
the
is.
Best one? What's
best one? Yeah, I probably should have done that. You paper guys, think about it, then you write
well,
it.
I'm still thinking.
Radio,
about that
we just start firing.
Well, the Purdue Northwestern's got an interesting game.
That is a good one. Colorado State is on Friday. San Diego State, Stanford, which I think San Diego State won that game last year, if I'm not mistaken.
Seems like they have beaten them in recent – it may have been last year.
That's on Friday. Duke and Army. Actually, I know from researching and putting in my top 25. Utah State and Michigan State. Utah State is one of the top teams in the Mountain West this year.
Yeah, it's supposed to be good, but Michigan State's one of those
they're top 15.
Sleepy good, yeah. Sleeper 15. Pick in their division.
And then – but the best of them all, and I hate that they're laying six, is Syracuse at Western Michigan. Laying the tease down line of six, which just means get stung outright.
although Duke and Army, they play for a giant autographed picture of Mike Krzyzewski.
Is that what it is?
And season five of Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Because he looks like
Beaver. Yeah, Duke is Duke. They're on TV more than Leave It to Beaver reruns.
Okay. I like that. I'm trying to look if on Saturday there's anyone. Texas, Maryland.
Which
Maryland's
was
got all its debacle going on right now.
And Maryland, remember, won that game last year at Texas in the Tom Herman debut.
Well, a lot of people are expecting a lot from Texas this year. So they better get it done against Maryland or spare me.
A Maryland team in this state.
All right, here's the big one. Washington-Auburn.
Okay, that's a neutral
site
game.
Washington-Auburn.
And Washington's – I've got them in the Final Four, so.
Tennessee and West Virginia are in Charlotte.
Big one for that's a big one for the Big 12.
Yeah.
They got to take advantage of Tennessee with a new coach.
And I'm scrolling to see if we got any other big ones on that one. The big one's that Washington game.
Washington Auburn is interesting.
Huge.
That's
oh, well, here you go. Michigan Notre Dame.
Right out of the gate, huh?
Right out of the gate, yeah. Usually no appetizer to kind of get the mistakes out. They'll go head to Louisville, Alabama.
Yeah, that's in Orlando. Neutral site, yeah.
And I think that's it. I think those are the big ones.
Nice games, but no blockbuster.
Sunday. There are two good ones by names, Miami LSU
right,
and Virginia Tech Florida State.
I like both of those.
So
I like both of those. And then there's always a Monday night game too, isn't there?
Usually Virginia Tech Florida State is Monday.
Monday night, okay.
Sunday is Miami LSU. So full weekend of football.
Yeah, so that's 2 weeks away. I'll tell you what strikes me about this season. I was thinking about this the other day going through some of the magazines and just how many of these programs, big programs, are starting over with new coaches and
like Ohio State. I mean, soon or maybe I don't know.
That's the most recent.
Right.
But think about it. I mean, A&M, Florida State, of course, those are related.
Right.
Nebraska and Arizona State, Arizona. There's just a bunch of them with new coaches. So
UCLA.
Yes, UCLA with Chip Kelly, a fascinating storyline there. So how do you kind of handicap those teams? That's why I kind of have a hard time. all these, a lot of these coaches have had great success, but they're starting over, right?
Well, and one of the things that's there is the fact that, you know, you got Scott Frost, and Scott Frost, they were like 2-10 or something his first year. I mean, they were winless. Was he the 0-12?
The 0-12 to 6-6 to 13-0. It's unbelievable what
he
did.
How fast he turned that around. So, you know, how long does it take a little time? I mean, he didn't win right away.
Right.
And that's one of the things I always caution. The first year, you do whatever you need to do to be ready for years 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, right? Because you only get one time to blame everybody else for everything. Blame the previous administration for everything.
I think I may be wrong, and I didn't look at it before I came, but I think he inherited 0-12 and turned 0-12 into 6-6.
That's what I think, too.
Yeah, and then 13-0.
Yeah,
so
he was only there 2 years.
Right, so it was an amazing accomplishment that – I know I was up there back in, I believe it was April, but Nebraska fans are just understandably giddy about this coach, and I think they have a pretty realistic approach to the season. Nobody's expecting a division championship up there, but not this year, but down the road they are for sure. If you had to rank the hires, I would put this one, Scott Frost in Nebraska, in the top two or three, for sure.
They're going to love that. I mean, they're just giddy. But if they go 5-7, don't freak out.
I don't think they will. I don't think there'll be a – I think there's an understanding. They're starting over at quarterback, and they had a lot of losses coming off of 4-8. So I think there's a level-headed – maybe that's too strong of a word. I think there'll be an understanding if there's not great success this first year. But it will hurt them. I mean, to be under 500 and not bowl eligible will sting. I think bowl eligibility's very important for the perception of the Nebraska program.
All right, so I had to stay up late night on Sunday to get my top 25 in so the AP could have it.
You're one of the locals.
Yeah.
Good for you.
By noon on Monday, and the All-American team and everything. It's a labor of love, but it's, if you take it seriously, which I think most people who get the vote do.
You begin with the word labor, so it is work.
I mean, it was late when I finally got done.
I mean, some people take it seriously. Some people put UCF behind Auburn in their final poll last year like idiots.
Phoning it in.
I have a system that I use, and I stick to it. And I'm not afraid to deal with a fan base.
Sounds like a line from a movie. I have a system, and I stick to it.
Well, when they see my top 25 and they're not in it, I have no doubt I will get some more emails because they ain't in it, bringing only 12 guys back.
So what fan base has been most active in pursuit of your opinion?
Kentucky's basketball fans, when I had them number 2 to Wisconsin to start the year. They lost to Wisconsin in the freaking Final Four.
First loss, right?
Up yours. I was like, 3 different newspapers down in Kentucky called me so you're the only idiot that doesn't have number 1. How can you do it? I'm like, well, I had Wisconsin number 1 preseason. They're more of a veteran team. I think Kentucky at the end of the year may very well be the best team, but this is, how can you possibly? Like, I was like, boy, unbiased journalism is dead in Kentucky. Because, I mean, it was just like, you know, while I'm hanging you from this tree, explain to me, you know, why you're so dumb.
It's so bad. There's actually
nobody
websites.
Called me when they lost to the Final Four, though.
Oh,
they lost to Wisconsin in the Final Four. No one called. No one called.
It's funny how that works.
Michigan State fans were upset a couple of years ago. That was basketball. Last year, I really didn't catch any grief till the end of the year, and I had Auburn ahead of Central Florida, and I will stand by it. They're a better team. If they had played a 7-game series, I think Auburn would have won 5 or 6 of them. A bowl game that Auburn didn't want to be in versus everything we got put into it for Central Florida.
Including their coach staying when he had no business staying.
And
right?
And then what Auburn accomplished in the SEC means something. I'm sorry, Central Florida, what do they need, double over? They need 60-something to 60-something against Memphis. And then they needed a double overtime to get by somebody else. And I'm like, I'm sorry, that's not beating Alabama. Okay, like that alone, 1-10, I would consider it. I wouldn't end 16. Up doing it, but I'd be like, wait a minute, this team beat Alabama, number 1 team in the country, and this team beat no one. But they lost the other 11 games, so okay. I'm going to go with Central Florida. But I would have looked at it.
Yeah.
You know?
I think the worst I got it was from West Virginia football fans one year.
What'd you do?
It was
What'd you do?
I just remember the schools involved were Notre Dame was involved, Florida State. It was one of those early 90s
football seasons.
And man, they everybody had West Virginia 2 or 3, and I had them down 4 or 5, and that was enough. That was enough.
Yeah.
And then, of course, this was before social media, so the postcards, the letters, postcards.
You're getting postcards.
Letters.
A bunch of people drove to Blair's house and burned a couch on his lawn.
I'm in Cancun, but damn you.
Oh, man.
They clearly didn't see it on the internet, they would have had to have picked it up at a...
Even then, AP was running the how they voted, so everybody's votes were public.
Oh yeah, they're out there.
Yeah, which is good. I'm
glad. Even know where that is.
There's a website.
No, I know there is. I don't know where it is, but I know the fans do.
Yes, they do.
They sure as crap find me.
Yep, and they share on the message boards.
Some guy come to your house with,
and that's where it comes from. Here's his email. Here, go get him.
Some guy come to your house in a trench coat and a boombox playing Country Roads.
So
all hours of the night.
So when I was getting lit up on one of those times or something, I think it was a basketball one, I'm pretty sure. I said, it was on Twitter. I was getting, and now you get it on Twitter too, right?
Oh sure, you get the immediacy.
Yeah. So I was responding. A guy, how can you possibly have this? And it wasn't a big one. It was just like, how could you have this team? It was like it was down at like, 16 was in front of 18, and like 18 should definitely be in front of 16 because of this or that. And I simply said something to the, and this was in the old 140 character days. Look, debating me on one team versus another team is not understanding the entirety of what the top 25 is.
Right, how it works.
However, I will debate you on it if you will first send me your top 25. But if you're only... position is these two teams, then you do not get it. Those two teams do not exist in a vacuum. In the real world, in your fandom, they do, but in the real world, they do not. And so send me your top 25, and then I will debate you about where you have them and why you have them, because there are other teams in here that factor in. Right? Yeah, head-to-head, they won it, but head-to-head, these three other teams lost to this one and beat that one. Like, there's all these other things that go into it. And I got three other voters tweeted, I'm just going to copy and paste this for everyone who hits me up. This is the ultimate response.
It's good.
To what it is. Is the AP out?
Yours is, yeah.
Oh, mine's up? Oh, you found it?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I brought mine up on the...
It's collegefootball.ap.org, and there's a link that you can look by week or
by voters. But they haven't released it yet, have
that's
they?
It's going to be last year's final.
Yeah, right? It's probably last year's
because
final.
Because it's out on the 20th.
Oh, yeah, because it has UCF.
Well, it doesn't look real different. You know, I mean,
AP comes out on the 20th, which is what, Sunday?
Well, it was supposed to be out this week.
It's this weekend.
No, it was supposed to be out this week.
Oh, I saw it.
And they sent us a thing that said, we're going to do a 48-hour grace period. We're going to hold off. It's supposed to come out today, as a matter of fact. And they were going to hold off waiting in case something happened with Urban Meyer.
Oh.
So I think they backed it up. Or maybe I misread what I got. You might be right. But
I just saw Ralph Russo, who covers the
– Yeah, he's the head guy.
Who coordinates it. He sent me something, said it was going to be on the 20th. We should look that up, the Surenz last ballot. But
is that it right there?
But
I don't think it's my this year's. What has it got?
It is. It shows 13-1, 13-2. Shows teams really. Yeah. Bama 13-1, Georgia 13.
That should have been your dead giveaway, Curtis.
Yeah, I didn't notice that. Yeah, that's you. Let me look at it.
Because here's what's funny. So you've got last year's, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's definitely last year's. Okay. I was like, that's not the final. That's just mine. There's Auburn at 8 and UCF at 10. To Orlando, okay?
And you just put the cursor over by a voter and a little drop screen comes up and you can put up anybody's name.
Okay, so what's funny is I didn't look at last year's and putting together this year's.
And you shouldn't, really.
No, huh? So last year, my final five was Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State.
And this is taken after the final game, so after the college football playoff, after
January
all the
9th.
Bowls.
Yes.
That's January 9th, so that would be, yes.
Yeah, the 8th, the game championship game was on the 8th.
Yeah, because Georgia's got 15 games, and Alabama didn't play in the championship game. They've got 14, so yes. So Alabama, Georgia, Clemson, Oklahoma, Ohio State.
Those are your final four teams in the college football playoff, then Ohio State.
And then Ohio State. Let's go to six, and six was Wisconsin. This year's top six, Clemson, Georgia, Alabama, Washington, Ohio State, Oklahoma. So of that five, Wisconsin, Washington's in and Wisconsin's out in that top six. The other five are the same five teams, just in a different order.
I
did not set out to do that.
No, but I don't disagree with that. And I had to come up with the final four the other day, and I have a different order, but they're the same four.
My intention was to put Oklahoma at 10. I read about Oklahoma, and I'm like, that smells like number 10 in the country. And then I read about Miami's replacements. Then I look at Wisconsin's schedule. I look at who Penn State had to replace. I look at who Notre Dame had to replace and the schedule. And I'm like, no, I mean, OU's schedule, I'm not seeing it in the Big 12 on who's going to just bury OU.
No, I don't.
So I don't think OU's near as good as they were last year, but I don't see the team. Now, maybe
I don't think the Big 12 is as good as it was last year, so I think that mitigates.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And maybe I'm sleeping on Stanford at 15. And I think really, for me, there's five teams that are head and shoulders above everybody else: Clemson, Georgia, Alabama, Washington, and Ohio State.
I agree with that. I think the Big 12 is going to be outside looking in this year when it comes to the college football playoff.
I think from the Big 12 standpoint, they're getting a tremendous kiss for Oklahoma. They're getting a huge kiss.
Historic, you know, one of those defaults, benefit of the doubts. You see it all the time.
And let me be clear. Maybe the right factors are broken for Oklahoma, because I don't see how a second-year coach, which, by the way, to me says letdown. First year, hey, we got to go for this guy. Second year, all right, we're all good. We're good, man. Coach knows what he's doing. We're good. I don't know that you're sharp and as aggressive in what you got to get done. And then Baker Mayfield was number one Heisman Trophy winner for a reason.
Yeah.
For a freaking reason. And he's gone. And I don't care that Kyler Murray's going to make $7.5 million playing baseball. It doesn't mean anything. I mean, I'm not convinced that he's just going to step in and do what Baker Mayfield did. But to their benefit, like in my case where I've got them at number six, they are just behind Ohio State. And if the Buckeyes lose, they're going to move in front of them.
Right.
Even though I think they're light years behind them. Same thing. I mean, Washington loses, and they've got Auburn.
Yeah.
OU's going to move in front of them. So it's a really fortuitous place to maybe have your team. Last year, OU was a national championship contending team. No doubt about it. They belonged to be up there all year.
And they won at Ohio State in the second week of the season.
And maybe they will prove to be that again. I thought that on paper going in, and they lived up to it the entire season. I don't think that on paper coming in. Maybe they'll live up to it during the season, and we'll feel that way. But, you know, I think you're right. I don't think Oklahoma figures to be one of the four best teams. I think Auburn might be better than them. I've got Auburn 14 because their schedule is a beast.
It is.
Right? I've got
meanwhile, Oklahoma, their hard non-conference game is UCLA at home this year. And how do we know? We don't know anything about UCLA. You know, it's the post-Josh Rosen era, the Chip Kelly, the new coach. You just don't know what you're going to get from UCLA. I think it's a nice-looking opponent that I think Oklahoma should handle. So they'll go into the conference play with a nice-looking non-conference win. You assume they're 3-0, and their hard road games are at West Virginia at the end of the season and at TCU in the middle of the season. I think everything else is manageable for Oklahoma. They may end up with a decent record, but I don't think anywhere near as good as they were last year.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back more with Blair Kirkhoff. He's brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC.
All right, the Tavern End of the Hour answer. Since 1950, his 14 career touchdown passes are the most by a non-quarterback. Who is he? Hall of Famer?
Walter Payton.
Nope. This man is tied with Payton for the most interceptions by a non-quarterback.
Marcus Allen.
Nope.
LaDainian Tomlinson.
That was my thought, was LT, right?
Those are the halfbacks that threw a lot of touchdowns, I was thinking.
I'll give you the years. 1952 to 1964.
Paul Hornung.
Good answer. He is one.
Is that right?
He and Paul Hornung might have been the two coolest guys in football from 1957 to 64.
57 to 64.
He played 52 to 64?
52 to 64.
Not Dick Lane.
Won an MVP.
Famous wife, right, Curtis?
Or famous, famous wife. Made more famous by the fact she was married to him.
Was she talented?
Talented.
She is talented?
She was talented.
Or she's just famous?
She
is she like a Kardashian? Or is she like Marilyn Monroe?
Yes.
Because I was thinking Joe DiMaggio.
Nope.
A little bit there when you said famous wife.
That would have been a story.
Yes, it would have if he had the most picks.
Yeah. Retired before the year before this man's career began.
So more she's more Wrong famous sport. Than she is talented?
Yeah.
Frank
she's
Gifford.
Very
Frank Gifford.
Frank Gifford.
Well done.
Who I said when I saw the thing, I was like, I bet there were very few moments in Frank Gifford's life when he wasn't the coolest guy in the room.
Was it when he got pinched for having that playmate? Was that one of the moments? On the side from Kathy Lee?
Yeah.
Was that it?
Could be. That might have been the one moment he wasn't, but for the most part.
And then when she divorced him, he had this big smile on his face. Was that what it was?
Alex Karras used to say, look, I come in here, I've got a tuxedo on. Frank walks in, he's got a t-shirt that says Mama on the front, and he looks like $1 million. I look like a dope. Frank Gifford was cool.
I could see where you had difficulty describing Kathy Lee Gifford's fame.
I was like,
what is it?
I didn't know who she was until she was Frank Gifford's wife. I was like, oh, that's his wife that does other stuff.
She wasn't really famous until she was on with Regis, right?
The talk show,
Regis
right.
and Kathy Lee.
Right. I think mm-hmm. that's right.
Which is now what? What is it now? I don't even know. What is it now? Is it still around?
Well, that was the show that
Michael Strahan was on.
For now it's Seacrest and Kelly Ripa.
I
only know that because it's on the morning on.
Yeah, I think it's called Seacrest Needs a Sandwich.
Seacrest makes more money.
Seacrest out.
Seacrest needs another check.
She is described as an American television host, singer, songwriter, author, comedian, and actress. Actress.
But in parentheses after comedian, it says unintentional, doesn't it?
She was the co-host with Hoda Kotb of the Kathy Lee and Hoda Show. The fourth hour of NBC's Today.
That's right. I remember that, the Today
okay.
Show.
Okay. I didn't remember that.
Well, because SNL they parodied.
Yeah, people riff off
the
that.
Wine,
yeah.
That's what that is? Yeah. Okay.
Kathy and Hoda.
Yeah. All right. Man, I'll take it.
The GIF. You the GIF-a-roo.
Since you brought up Seacrest, can you really do like half a dozen? Like, how easy must the jobs be if you can handle half a dozen of them at once? You know?
Dude is made.
Try covering a Royal Clubhouse, Seacrest.
Add that to
you
your
freeloader.
List.
Freeloader.
Carson Daly was like, man, I thought I had the greatest money divided by effort ratio ever. No, it's Ryan Seacrest. You know, there's two guys you can put a boot in the ribs of and no one's ever going to complain. It's Ryan Seacrest and Carson Daly. There's two right toward the top of the list. Yeah. No one's like, hey, I'm going to defend Carson Daly and Ryan Seacrest. There's no army, Seacrest army. Well, they're probably young girls.
Yeah.
Ain't no guy going, well, hang on a second.
You're going to have some bruised shins here in a little bit. You keep this up.
Hang on, buddy. I'm going to defend Ryan Seacrest. Dude rocks.
Guys,
that ain't ever happening.
Works construction, yeah. You know.
Takes time off of riveting some building.
Massive, strong, calloused hands. He's 30 ready to stories. Come slap you senseless with.
30 stories in the air, putting together some bank tower, and he's listening to us and is ringing his phone. Hey, wait a minute. Hey, Bill, did you hear this? This dude's ripping on Seacrest.
What?
Oh, no, he's not. Oh, no, he's not. I'm going to fire off an angry tweet. I need you to do it, though, because my thumbs are too muscular to actually work my smartphone. I break the screen every time I try to tweet. You do it.
That's the guy who's pissed, as you're saying.
I think so.
Okay. All right.
He works with Bill. I don't know what his name is.
Tavern is thrilled to be the sponsor of this moment. Tavern at Mission Farms and Tavern in the Village, a place that both Bill... the screen-shattering tweeter, as well as Ryan Seacrest, would be thrilled to go to for happy hour, lunch, dinner, what have you. It's
sometimes I just get in the car and drive around.
Tavern at Mission Farms and Tavern in the Village. You're welcome, Kelly. You are welcome. That one was yours. we're talking to Blair Kirkhoff. When last we left you, we were talking college football. Talk about overrateds and underrateds. And we talked yesterday with Eddie Tamanis from the USA Today, who handles their poll. He's in charge of their poll, which is the coaches' poll. And I brought up K-State being underrated. Hey, did you think about K-State in the polls? And we talked about it. I said, well, we're just going on the 25 teams that were in here. Who's too high, too low, whatever. And so if people miss that segment, it's a good segment. You can get it on the podcast at 810WHB.com. I might talk about Mr. Tamanis a little bit later on in the program. But Notre Dame, Michigan, Mississippi State, Florida State, and LSU on the overrateds. The underrateds were Wisconsin, Stanford, West Virginia, Boise State, and Central Florida. No on Central Florida. And this is not just a carryover that I had last year, but you lose Scott Frost and 12. They have 12 of 22 starters back, 10 starters gone, including multiple draft picks.
Yeah, the quarterback is back, but that's –
quarterback's back.
You need that.
And that's why they're not going to go 6-6. They're going to go like 9-3. But 9-3 in that league is not top 25,
no,
in my opinion.
That was a lightning in a bottle season for them, too.
The Memphis is salty. That's a good team. I think South Florida might be all right. You know, there are some teams, and I think they've got – here's my – do something, Curtis.
Sorry, the minute that happened, my screen went black, so I went, what?
So what did we learn there?
We both went blank at the exact same moment.
We learned that Curtis can't talk without the computer screen. If it's not on a script, he just went blank.
I can't.
No, but... what?
There you go. You back up,
lying,
apparently.
Right?
No.
Yeah, momentarily we'll have it. Central Florida schedule at Connecticut, South Carolina State, at North Carolina. So they'll get a real test there. And then Florida. Florida Atlantic's good.
I think Florida Atlantic may be better than North Carolina this year.
10-win team. Pittsburgh, they've got SMU at Memphis, which is a tough game because Memphis is good. At East Carolina, Temple, Navy, Cincy, and at South Florida. So at South Florida, at Memphis, at North Carolina, and a Florida Atlantic game that's good.
What was their victory?
Plus Temple doesn't suck, but that game's at home.
What was their regular season victory
last
year?
And Navy's no joke either.
No, never. But when Central Florida was building its undefeated season, I'm trying to remember their...
So they got on the radar screen by slapping Maryland 38-10.
After Maryland had beat Texas.
That got them on the radar screen. They beat Memphis big. They won at Cincy. Do you need to go in the hall?
I'll explain to you what happened in the break. It's
porn?
It's just one of those examples
too much porn?
Of that happening.
Okay. East Carolina, at Navy they won, OCP. They won at SMU by 7, Roll Connecticut at Temple. It was that Maryland one, and then they just didn't lose.
Yeah.
And they kept going because then they got South Florida at the end, 49-42, and South Florida was ranked number 22. And that game was a shootout. And then against Memphis.
In the conference championship
In
game.
Double overtime. 62-55.
That's right. That's right. On their home field too, I think.
Yeah. So they had a hell of a season. You know, number 10 is a good ranking. I think they got much higher in the real whatever the polls ended up giving them.
And they bought themselves rings.
Right.
Yes. National championship.
Sure. Rings. Sure. Go for it. If that's you know, and grab a participation ribbon while you're there. You know, God forbid you learn a lesson and live without. We're all champions, aren't we, really? Everybody won their bowl game. This was it. It was the title game.
Yeah, I think they took it a little too far.
Alabama, though, I think is overrated, right? To which Eddie was very astute, pointing out, he goes, well, they can't be underrated.
Correct. That is absolutely correct.
At number one.
I think they should be number zero.
I think they're overrated. 7 starters back on offense. I know everyone's excited about the quarterback. They assume it's going to be Tua.
Yeah.
But only 3 starters back on defense. And everyone's like, it's Alabama. They just reload. That is an approach. I will not heckle those that have made Alabama number one. And I told Ernie, I said, 61-65 arrive at Alabama number one. I go, that's overrated.
Well, I don't
mind you voting them number one, but I don't think 65 independent minds should come to 61 of the 65 come to them as number one. Because, frankly, off what they're bringing back talent-wise, 6, 7, 8, if their name wasn't Alabama and they brought this squad back.
Probably not.
6, 7, 8 is where they would be, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, but I can remember watching the national championship game And besides Tua, who led them to the victory, there were so many freshmen playing in that game for Alabama that shook your head and said, this is unbelievable that six or seven freshmen were contributing to Alabama in that game on both sides of the ball. The kid who caught the touchdown pass may have been a freshman. I can't remember. At least a guy who had a big play in one of the overtimes. So that was my impression of Alabama, is that I knew after that game, because of the talent, the teenage talent that they had, that they were going to go into next season number one. So I'm not surprised. But Clemson is my choice.
That's my number one.
Clemson is my choice
to
win the national championship.
Depth at quarterback.
Defense.
Dabo Sweeney, the team that goes toe-to-toe with Alabama on a regular basis.
Team that got it done last year with the first-time starting quarterback.
I mean, and a schedule that just, I mean, go ahead and put them in the playoffs. I mean, at A&M is their second game, and that's saltier than some people may realize because I got them in the top 25. At Georgia Tech?
Nope.
At Wake? At Florida State? I mean, Florida State is getting ridiculous love. I don't understand why they're getting so much hype. Like, oh, they got plenty of talent back on defense. Well, but they didn't stop anyone last year.
No.
Right? Louisville at home, at Boston College, South Carolina at home at the end. I mean,
nothing.
Clemson's favored in every single game.
That's a run-the-table schedule.
And double digits across the board, except for maybe at Florida State. We'll see if they play up to what some people's expectations are. And maybe at A&M they'll hang 7.5, 8.5 up against what is an A&M team that brings a lot of pieces back. That was a decent team last year. And Jimbo Fisher, by their count, is certainly an upgraded coach.
Yeah. That's a fascinating one to watch, A&M, because Fisher just seemed to, I don't know, not care is not what I want to say, but to let Florida State, once they lost the quarterback last year, but to let it fall as far as it did, it's almost like he knew he was on his way out, knew he was gone.
So how about this? Georgia brings back 13 starters, 8 on offense, including a quarterback. They also have great depth at quarterback because, like Clemson, it's like them and Clemson get the number one quarterback every year now. Their schedule, the roughness of their schedule, at South Carolina is their second game, at Mizzou, Tennessee Vandy at home, at LSU, that team is 6-6.
No Notre Dame on Georgia's schedule this year.
Florida on a neutral field. I do think Florida's a top 25 team. At Kentucky and Auburn at home.
No, that should, and so they obviously avoid Alabama until the championship game.
So I'll see you in the SEC title game.
Yeah, and so now the question becomes:
That's why I've got Clemson, Georgia 1-2.
The reason the SEC got two in the Final Four last year is because Alabama didn't play in the SEC title game, right? So they lost to Auburn at the end of the year. So Alabama got voted in, and so if Georgia and Alabama say they have schedules that they'll be favored to win every game, that'll be a titanic clash. Let's say it happens; they're both 12-0 going into the SEC title game. Would the loser go?
I think it's a possibility this
absolutely
year.
Absolutely a possibility.
I definitely do, because I think there could be a lot of two-loss teams behind them.
The one, I'll tell you what, the SEC school that I'm pretty bullish on that Eddie, I guess, counted as overrated was Mississippi State with the new coach, Joe Moorhead, the Penn State offensive coordinator. I really think that guy's a terrific coach. And so he's 2 years at Penn State. The first 2 years of James Franklin at Penn State, their offense is pretty ordinary. He gets there and turns that offense into one of the best offenses in the country the last 2 years. I mean, so Barkley was a great running back and everything, but Joe Moorhead is an offensive genius. So now he goes to Mississippi State, inherits Nick Fitzgerald, the quarterback, a lot of pieces back on offense. I've got Mississippi State finishing second in the SEC West this year.
I'm fine with that because Auburn's got a B of a schedule.
Yeah, it's a tough schedule.
Alabama's schedule, by the way, Louisville on the neutral field, which I think could surprise them. I know they lost their quarterback, Lamar Jackson, everything, but they may have a guy who throws it way better. The throwing offense might be better. They love the kid they've got. He's a bigger, stronger version, not as fast, not as quick, not as elusive, but maybe a better thrower that steps in there, and those first games are always tough. If they get upset, there goes their mulligan.
Right.
Now, their SEC schedule, for all the SEC pomp and circumstance, is actually pretty cushy for Alabama, and I think this is why so many are putting him at number one. At Mississippi, so what? A&M at home. At Arkansas, so what? Mizzou at home. At Tennessee, at LSU with a bye week in between, but I don't really think either one of those schools are ready to mess with them. They don't get Florida. They don't get Georgia. Then Mississippi State is at home. Yep. The Citadel for the backups to play. And then Auburn at home.
Yeah, Auburn at home and at LSU were the tests. Until
and Mississippi SEC. State at home.
Yeah.
Before then, yes.
Right,
yes,
until the SEC title game. So it sets up pretty well for Alabama.
We'll take a break, talk about where the local schools fit into the picture. That's next here in the program. Blair Kirkhoff is with us, brought to you by Robert Brogdon Buick GMC, I-35 and Santa Fe. RobertBrogdon.com online. Blair, locally, what do you think of the local schools? My top 25, Big 12-wise, Oklahoma at 6, Texas at 16, West Virginia 22, TCU 23. I rank them through 40, so I know what's going on right below the top 25. K-State at 26, Oklahoma State at 28, and Iowa State at 38.
That's about what I have. I've got West Virginia second, I think TCU third, K-State fourth, Texas fifth. You have Texas second. We always know Texas is overrated every year. They tend to, since Mack Brown left, they have tended to underachieve. But I can't get there yet with Tom Herman. I know what he did in Houston, and I just
can't get there until he figures out a quarterback.
Texas hasn't figured out a quarterback since Colt McCoy.
I've got him in there because I think that they're going to fatten up on Big 12 games, and I'm gonna buy into the resume of Herman
and his recruiting rankings. He's had two good classes since he's been there, so that should start to pay dividends for him. But you know what?
And he had pretty good classes he inherited, so I think there is talent.
There is.
If he doesn't win some games this year, then we're going to have some big red flags.
But I'll go back to what we've said before. I trust Bill Snyder with his two quarterback situation better than I do Texas with their two quarterback situation. So we'll see what he does with him. I think Parker Anger is going to end up not Anger. Listen to me, Parker Anger. Sam Ellinger. And not Sam Mellinger from the Star, but yeah. Sam Mellinger from Sam the Texas Mellinger. Quarterback will end up being the Longhorn quarterback.
I've got Missouri at number 40.
So how many in the East? So you Florida ahead of them?
I have. Well, I actually am bullish on Florida. I've got Georgia at number 2. I've got
That's who I've got.
Florida at 20, and that's it in the top 25.
Okay, I went ahead.
South Carolina at 29.
Yeah, a lot of people have South Carolina second.
And then Missouri 40.
Maybe it's a little regional bias, but I've got Missouri finishing second with maybe a 5-3, with others at 4-4. I just the quarterback. They've got the quarterback that nobody else has.
Yeah, and that's a big difference. Just for the other local folks, I've got Iowa at 24. I'm kind of bullish on Iowa. I got Nebraska and my others just outside the top 40. We'll see what Scott Frost can do in that first year.